page of its own, you know, again, which is nothing new. It hadn't done it for several months, but returned. So I mention all that. Please just pray for him. He actually, I think, passed out. So, but he's there, and he's at Northwestern, so we pray for him, pray for his family. They went home about 2 o'clock in the morning. Not him, but the family did in the hospital. So I know that they are, like most families would be, pretty concerned. So I know they'd appreciate us lifting up in prayer. I think we'll start off with that. Start this morning. Father, we just thank you again for the way you do provide for us. And Father, we thank you for making us the body. Lord, we are in and of ourselves, small church. Lord, you have planted this in this community. Lord, we are one another. I pray that, Lord, even though we're not perfect in what we need to be, we desire to grow and mature. And Lord, we ask you to bless the family that we're concerned about this morning. We pray especially for Adela and Lord, this ongoing issue he's had with his heart, and pray that you give the family a sense of faith and a sense of rest and security, Lord, knowing that you're taking care of him. And, Lord, just help us be as supportive and encouraging in our prayers and our time with them that we possibly can be. Lord, just know that we'll work things out for them, and pray for it. Lord, just help us with our faith, not to be technology or medicine, but Father, in you, and guide those that are in charge of that care. Bless only you can. In Jesus' name. All right. This morning I want to take a little time. And if you have your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. I'm going to take a text out of chapter Ephesians. And the whole chapter, actually the two or three chapters in that, I think are really dealing with what we should be and can be in the Lord, and what God wants us to be. And there's things that we can do that really do oppose what God's divine purpose is. And there, I think kind of an illustration is many times I'll leave after I get done with lunch on Sunday, come back to church, and it's a good time for me. I get a chance to pray and study, and the girls like to come with me, which is good, and that's fine. I like my granddaughters to come with me, but I found, and I probably knew this, but I forgot, that if you don't give them projects to do, they might find themselves in some sort of mischief. So I've had to give them projects with a certain amount of threats, and say, listen, while Grandpa's studying and praying, you better not disappoint me, or I'm going to disappoint you. And they know what I'm talking about. And I think that when we look through the book of Ephesians, and we see down, if you're down there in chapter 4, in verse number 30, I use that illustration because most parents quickly understand what I'm talking about. If you're not giving your kids things to do that are right, they're going to be doing things that are wrong. All right, that's and so it's better than to leave them in some kind of limbo of wondering what they should do, is give them positive things that they can do and should do. And that's really what God does for us. He knows that if we're not doing His will, which is not a real problem there, we should know what His will is, and we should be ever wanting to accomplish it, we're probably going to be getting into some kind of mischief. All right? And so the best way not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, I'm going to look at some of these verses here, just to kind of give you a taste of what it could be if we get into mischief, but how the operation and effort of the Holy Spirit does work. And I think that's the best way, not just to focus on the negative things that we do or could do, but understand what we're doing, we won't have an opportunity to behave in any way but what would be pleasing to God. And I'm sure that everyone here, you wouldn't be here if you didn't desire to try to please God. You want to please God. You want to honor Him. You want to do His will. You want to do not. The last thing you want to do is grieve the Spirit of God. Well, if you're in your Bible, let's stand as we read some verses together, and we'll get kind of a taste for what he's speaking of. We're going to start in chapter number 4, starting in verse number 7. Chapter 4 and verse number 7. The Bible says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he left captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it? But that he is also descended first to the lower parts of the earth. He that descended, the same also ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ." Now, if you want to underline a thought, there's the vein we're going to go in today, is that to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us an amazing gift. And Lord, that we know that that gift has a purpose, because it is you. It's a person. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you dwell in the hearts of the believer. And Lord, we pray for those that are uncertain whether you dwell in their hearts. Father, I pray that they give understanding how important that salvation is, that they might be able to understand and know your will, desire to do it. I pray that you bless our time, your word, your prayer, your time as Father, you give us the opportunity to hear it preached in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat. Then if you continue on, it says, there is this mischievous part of us that if we're not given the will of God to do, then the Holy Spirit is not involved in things that we do that are not right. Let me just put it that way. And that when you're saved, when you're born again, I'm going to go over this tonight, is that you have now a God-given conscience. Whereas your conscience before was only measured up to whatever standard you thought was worthy. After that, now it begins to measure up to the stature of Christ. And that's a good thing, by the way. I'm so glad that we have a conscience. How many of you have tried to do something that you know and somewhere you've learned along the line that's not right? And you try to justify it, you try to figure out a way to make it right, and yet your conscience is an ornery thing. All right, it just won't let you do the things that you would, and the Holy Spirit uses that, and so it's a very positive thing. And by the way, let me say this for for parents especially, you use a son or daughter's conscience. You are really, up until they get saved, even after they get saved to some degree, are the standard of righteousness of Christ. And you are the one that's the kind of the bulwark of what your children see is right and wrong, all right? So you're building their conscience of truth just through you. You are kind of the Lord in working in their life. And so that the more consistent you are in that effort, the more they see that they fall short of the glory of God. And that's a good thing. They see that they need Christ. And you bring up the fact that, hey, you're fulfilling what you are. You're a sinner. Sinners sin, all right? And the only way to overcome that is by the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ. You need to put your faith in Him and ask Him for forgiveness and repent. Give your life to Him. And that doesn't happen in a day or a week. It happens over, really, I think, over several years. And the time I often see kids between the age of 5 and 8, if their parents are consistent with them, their conscience will begin to get a hold of them, say, "Well, I need to be saved. I need to trust Christ. I want to be born again." And they know they're a sinner, and they haven't a problem understanding what sin is. This isn't a part of the message, but it is a big part for parents to understand how valuable it is. And sometimes we want to let our kids do whatever they want to do. No, a lot of times they have to understand you are the standard. I've said it before. Sometimes you just need to tell your kids, even when they're not doing anything wrong, "I just want you to sit there for a minute." And they say, "Well, why? It doesn't matter why. I just told you need to sit there for a while." Because you are the authority. They need to understand there's always authority in their life, so that when they hear your voice, they think, "Well, authority." So when they hear God's voice, what are they going to think? Authority. God is an authority over my life. And so it's very important that we understand that, and especially when it comes to grieving the Holy Spirit of God. We're going to stay in the book of Ephesians just for a second, because I want you to see this other side. He says in verse number 17, and he says, "This I say, therefore, testifying that henceforth not walk, not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened through the alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." Verse 20. "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you've heard it and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which is after God, created in righteousness and true holiness." And it goes on to a list of things that we shouldn't do anymore. We don't give the devil an opportunity. In verse 28, we don't steal. We work with our hands, prepared to give to others that need it. No wrong communication. And in verse number 29, and of course the verse that we read, verse of today, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption." That's a nice thing, by the way. Some people never have the hope of that eternal security. That's one of the most glorious things. You think about, if God seals you, you know, if you're in the hand of God, and He seals you, and He's saying, no man's going to pluck you out of His hand. You're sealed by the righteousness of Christ, by the shed blood of Christ. You're one of His children. And that's a glorious thing. Sometimes believers are plagued and never go forward in their Christian life because they're not sure about salvation. And boy, when you become, and at the beginning, every person goes through this, until you learn what the Bible says about salvation, you're going to feel insecure. But the more you know about Christ, the more you know about His salvation, the more secure you'll be. We're going to look at some ideas here. Defining grieve: to offend, to displease, to provoke. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. We went over that. To feel pain of mind or heart, to be in pain on account of an evil, to sorrow, to mourn, to grieve the loss of a friend or property. Think about it. That is what we cause our Lord to go through. I don't know about you. Boy, when you get saved and you understand what He has done for you, especially when you can go through and picture in your mind the death that He went through, the suffering that He went through, and it's best to look at it this way. Listen to me, girls. When you think about doing wrong and you think about Jesus being on the cross, when your conscience is beginning to nag you about the behavior or your actions or your words or even your thoughts, you say, now wait a minute, I'm bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in the body and spirit. I don't want, He's already suffered for me in my sins. Do I want to put my Savior through more grief? Do I want to grieve Him because I'm His son? It's just like a mother or father. They see their son or daughter doing things they shouldn't do. Do I want to grieve Mom and Dad? I can actually remember when my parents, neither one were saved, but they did have a standard of right and wrong that we as their children should maintain. And one of them was smoking. We didn't smoke. Wasn't supposed to smoke. And, you know, I ran around with the wrong kids. And I so much, my mom, she said, I want you home by a certain time. And I think I've given this illustration before, but I can remember I didn't want to displease my mom. And I can remember as much as my friends tried to coax me and encourage me and said, you've got a curfew. I got to be in by, I think it was 10:30 or something like that. And they said, no, you can stay out. You can just call her and let her know. I said, no, I got to go home. And I can remember they wouldn't let me get out of the car. I was in a two-door hardtop at the time. I remember the car. It was a 64 Impala, SS, red. And I was in the back seat and I couldn't get out. There was no second door to get out. And I thought in my mind, I'm getting out of this car. I'm going home. I don't want to displease my mom. Mom is so looking for me to behave and be home. I literally, the car was going about 50 miles an hour, bailed right out the window. Kids don't do that, by the way. The Lord is watching over me. But listen to me, you want to please God. There's this idea you don't want to grieve the Spirit of God. And the best way I know is to say, not be trying to stop doing the things you should, but get busy doing the things that you should. It's much easier to fight on the offense than the defense. As you go out and you get busy, instead of trying to ward off the mischief that's in your heart, you determine and say, listen, I'm going to follow as the Lord would have me. I want you to see here John chapter 3 and verse number 5 through 8. This is important. I think it's old hat to most of us, but I think it's good to review. Take your Bibles and turn there. The Gospel of John, here is the work of bringing about new birth. If you think that we're not a part of that picture, what is the Holy Spirit doing in our lives? Providing opportunity for new birth. Look in verse chapter number 3, starting in verse number 5. The Bible says, and Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whither it cometh, whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Listen, I've said this over and over, but I'll say it again. The Holy Spirit of God certainly works in the lives of people, but the strongest evidence of somebody, the Spirit of God working in somebody's life, is you being involved and the salvation of other people's souls. Christ dwells in us. His Spirit resides in us. And those people can go through their life and not be affected by the Word of God or the Spirit of God, But let a Christian show up on their door. Knock, 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 knock. I have a Bible verse for you. I have a tract for you. I have a church brochure. And I'd like to invite you out of church. And I want you to know that we're concerned about your soul. Guess what's involved there? The Spirit of God and the Word of God. You want to stay out of mischief? You don't want to grieve the Spirit of God? Then instead of trying to not do the things that you shouldn't do, get involved in the things that what? You should be doing. Like my little girls. If I don't give them some things to do when they come to church, I know they're going to be in trouble. I don't think they're going to be in trouble because they haven't got anything else to do. You want to keep yourself in line with what God's will is? You want to please your Heavenly Father, then you get involved in this powerful effort to win souls. I have no doubt, as your pastor, that the track of the week thing is of God. I know it's of God. And you know it's of God. Your conscience constantly nags on you. And you can make all the excuses in the world, but you know that you do have opportunity. Not a lot, maybe. You can hand out two tracts a day. You may have to sit out on your sidewalk. Block the sidewalk. I don't know. Some way the Holy Spirit says you can do it if you really want to. Involved in the salvation of souls. Secondly, passionately aiding and supporting every believer. Take your Bibles and turn back to the teaching on Jesus taught on the work of the Holy Spirit. Chapter number 14. Starting in verse number 20. The Bible says that, well, we have to back up because I have to keep it in context here. He says in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you in a little while, yet a little while. The world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and I in you. So there's this breakdown that God gives us of how we're going to work as a church. How you're going to work in a family. I mean, you think about it. It's to have a home, and to have a godly home takes God in it. All right, I don't know another way to put it. Because if everybody acts on their own passions and feelings and emotions, and don't tell me that doesn't happen, it does a lot. And we need God to oversee and undersee and in between see, helping us with aiding and supporting. Listen, this is so important. You know, God knows what we are without Him. He knows what kind of mischief we get in and how our feelings get involved, how did we get disappointed, and how that starts driving the way we think. He says, listen, I'm going to give you a sense of peace and rest. I'm going to be with you, guiding you, helping you, strengthening you to accomplish that amazing task of being like Christ. You think about it, he says he's going to be what? A comforter. I think of another way of putting it is a paraclete. He's an advocate. He's going to come alongside you. And even though you say, well, there's nothing in me, you can look to that resource, which is your comforter, and say, oh, Lord, what? Abba, Father. Daddy, help me. I'm struggling. How many of you moms say, I struggle to be a mom sometimes? I really do. I mean, I know what I should be, and I know how I need to be, but at times, hey, what made me pull my hair out? Right? And you say, just stop. You think of I love the story of the Wesley mother, John Wesley and Charles Wesley's mom, wasn't it? Now Suzanne Wesley. And then she had, what'd they have? How many kids they had? 12 kids. Wow, some of you think we got 5. 4. And she'd literally be in the middle of raising these kids, and she'd need the Lord. They say she'd let raise her apron, her apron up over her head, and just start praying. Didn't have a prayer closet, she had an apron closet. 12 kids, I think I'd have one too. I'd wear an apron just so I could have one. But listen, you have passionate. I just think of the idea that the Holy Spirit isn't lackadaisical and indifferent. And man, he's passionately. He's going to change the way you think and the way you act that you might have that kind of heart, that kind of passion. Notice as I finished up in verse 20, at that day you shall know. I like that, don't you? At that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Man, you got something going on. You're not doing it by yourself. God has given me some neighbors. I've had more interaction with these neighbors. I guess maybe because I'm spending a lot more time around the house. And God love them. They're a champ. Right. And I, and Debbie will look out the window and say, your friend's coming. And he is a friend. And he's got lots of issues going on. But he looks to me and he says, and I literally in my mind, I say, oh Lord, you know, how many have been like that? You want to move on? You want to keep things? And I said, Lord says, no, I'll just take some time. Yesterday took a lot of time, like 3 hours. God loves him. You know, God told me that. God loves him. I died for him. You have no reason not to be patient and passionately caring about him and his need. And I guess that's what he sees. Look in chapter number 15, if you will, verse number 4. He said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you what? Abide in me. Say you want to produce a godly lifestyle, a godly manner of deportment, you got to let the Holy Spirit have his liberty in your life. That means you can't shun what he wants to do. You can't put off what he wants you to do. The Lord Jesus Christ is involved in souls. If you want the Lord to work in your life and you don't want to grieve him, and you say, whatever you will, Lord, whatever you want, and it may require you some time, it may require money, and if you don't have money, it'll be time. Energy. It may be that you'll have to change the way you think, the way you act. But guess what? You will not be grieving him. Because why? You're aiding and supporting every believer. And even non-believers. So we have to define a little bit of the idea of comforter. One who administers comfort or consolation. One who strengthens and supports the mind in distress or danger. That's a comfort. That's what he is for you. And guess what? That's what you will be for what? Others. Get it? You're not just taking on this comfort for your little self. You're taking this comfort on for the needs of others. God is going to support you, encourage you, bless you. Overcome, guess what? You got a selfish nature. How many of you know that? How much it's all about me, it's all about mine. This is not just about you. You're aiding and supporting others. He's got a comfort for you, but you're going to be a comfort to others. Given the title, as it says in the latter part of this definition of the Holy Spirit. Good way to look at it. So we're going to look at some of these things. Passionately comforting and aiding. What does that mean? It's a big deal. It's a big part of what you do to keep from grieving the Holy Spirit. If you neglect it, guess what? You're neglecting what God wants to accomplish through you. Look with me in verse number chapter 14 and verse number 16. Granting a sense of security. People ought to feel that you're a worthy person to be trusted. By the way, that's one thing that guy keeps saying. I know I can trust you. I don't know how he knows he can trust me. To hear him talk, he don't trust nobody. But for whatever reason, he trusts me. Well, you know, that ought to be. There ought to be a sense of security. Look what it says in verse number 16. And I'll pray, and he shall give you another comfort, that he may abide with you for what? Ever. The Holy Spirit of God will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And listen, the only way I see out of a relationship with others is when you're being an advocate for the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes people will just go away. You're trying to warn them about the wrath to come. You're trying to warn them about sin. And a lot of times, if they really do trust you and believe in you, then what you're saying to them, they understand to be true. And sometimes they won't run. They'll be saying, here's somebody that's not afraid to say the truth. So there's a sense of security. Your neighbors ought to abide by you. They know that so-and-so lives by us, and I don't have to worry about them because they're always going to do right. Your children need to know that about you. For you that sometimes struggle with it, keep it an even keel on your controls, on your emotions. The Holy Spirit of God takes over, and He has the ability to undergird you and strengthen you to the point that no matter what happens, you keep it under control. That didn't always used to be in my life. People don't realize I had a nasty temper. Oh, it was nasty. My mother used to say, you better get a hold of that. And I really didn't get a really good hold of it until after I got saved. Remember when I was young, I got so angry at my brother. I couldn't stand to lose. My brother and sister started running. You know, because I'd lose it. But listen, the Holy Spirit of God, there's a sense of security. Let's look at another one. Not only a sense of security, is generating respect. Look in verse number 17. Even the Spirit of truth. You'd underline that in the Bible. Whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. You know, that's one of the things that the more you read and study your Bible, the more you memorize the Word, the more you apply the things that you've learned, listen, people respect somebody that is godly. You know, people want to find somebody that's godly. They look for people that are godly. The desire of God is that you have a testimony that's worth emulating. That means copying. It ought to be your kids look at you and they want to emulate you. Guess what they first pick up? They don't always emulate the good thing. They emulate the what? Oh, they pick that up right away. Boy, they like that emotion that they see in you. And boy, they think, man, I feel that too. And I'm going to act that on that. But when they see you respond in a good manner, in a godly manner, that's not so easy for them, is it? And they look at you and they wonder, how are you able to maintain that godly heart and godly spirit? And by the way, they'll know that anytime they step out of that realm, that they've done wrong. You want people to be able to emulate you and desire to emulate you. But where do you get that? It's the spirit of truth. That means anything that's not of the truth is not of God. Any thought that comes into your mind that's not of the truth is not of God. Any action that you do, any place you go that's not of the truth, can come from the Bible. I'll give you the third thing. Not only security, but generating respect, but noticeably, generously being charitable in the lifestyle, charitable lifestyle of others first. This is not done without God's Holy Spirit. We are naturally selfish and self-centered. That's just who we are. And it really does take the Spirit of God. And I've said this with you before, but I want you to see again that at that day, that you start stepping out of your selfish inner desire and you say, no, you know what? It's not what I need. It's what others want. It's not what I want. It's what others desire. That's putting others first. You see, the Holy Spirit is all about that. And so let's say you just say, well, I'm getting tired of waiting on everybody else. I've never gotten tired of waiting on somebody else. You just get, you know, okay, it's my day, you know. And you just get weary of it. My wife's even said, well, you just want some time by yourself. She can read me like a book sometimes. No, I don't want no time by myself. It ought to be that what they read is you really want to be with others. You really want to help others. Look at 18. We'll read those verses again. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while the world seeth me no, but you see me. Because I live, you shall what? You know, life, as God sees it, is through the Holy Spirit. Life that you want to really have, it says that you'll have life and have it more abundantly, the Bible talks about. What is that abundant life? Having more for yourself? Is it? Or having more of yourself for others? You know, when you can get over yourself, the Holy Spirit has a big job. But once the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to overcome yourself, you know what? You're going to be a happy person. You're going to be content. Because you know what? When you're serving yourself, are you content? When you're serving yourself, you want to keep doing what? Serving yourself. You want more because you can never be satisfied. But when you've died to self, and self no more has demand over you, and your desires, then all of a sudden you overcome this person and you begin to look around. How many of you like to make folks happy, smile? And when you can do something for somebody else, and you say, well, no, they were happy. Brought a little joy into their life. And you know, when you can do that, is that satisfying? Oh, man, is it satisfying. Man, you could bring and you could be selfish and draw in for yourself. But boy, let me say something. On Saturday mornings, I'm very selfish. I'm selfish in the morning. I know 10 o'clock. I know, man, I'm going to go out and I'm going to take 2-3 hours and hand out some gospel tracts. And I get here and we get all our little packets made up that we're going to hand out. And finally, I start to knock on that first door and the second door and the third door and the fourth door. Finally, I get through, and boy, when I get done and I come back to the church, maybe couldn't get back to the church because of the parade, but normally I get back to church, and boy, I just feel so good. I just feel like I did what God wanted me to do. We had met a man, and I asked you to pray for him, named Paul, yesterday. And I visited at the door with him for, well, I suppose maybe 15 minutes. And he's one of those individuals that it's hard to get away from. The more you talk to him, the more he wanted to share with you. And finally, we finished up our conversation time with him. And Debbie says, you know what? He's just a lonely man. You know, and I achieve pride. You know, there's people out there that are hurting. There's people out there that need what you and I have. And boy, you know, you can heap to yourself and heap to yourself. But boy, when you can give away something, it's glorious. It's exciting. Say, God was in that. The Holy Spirit was working. By the way, I say pray for him. He said he had a stroke several years ago. It was very hard. He said, you ought to watch me. Very humble man. He made some remark about how he walked like a zombie or something because he was all over the place. And I said something. I said, well, you know, I'm sure that we can work it out wherever you come down. Somebody bring me to church if you'd like. He said, you know, he says, I think that's even better. What am I saying to you, folks? You don't want to grieve God? Look at it this way. When you grieve God, you grieve yourself. When you grieve God, you're not happy yourself. You're not content yourself. So I choose today to say, listen, why? Why would I want to undermine what the Holy Spirit's trying to do to bring comfort into my life and recognize the purpose of my life is not for me, it's for others. Fourthly, comfort aiding and supporting every believer. Take your Bible and look in verse number 21. Verse number 21. Says, he that hath my commands and keepeth them, he that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. And Judas said to him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, but not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. These things have I spoken to you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things in your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. I want you to read the next verse. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, let it neither be afraid. No. It's a trite saying, but really, what does the world need? Some people may not realize it, but you're following the leadership of the Holy Spirit and you're others-minded, in reality, you're loving folks. You're loving them not through you. You're loving them through Christ. People that are most influenced in this world by God is the people that we somehow build relationships with. Now, we're going to hand out tracts. We can preach on the street. Let me say this. You're going to love folks all the time. That neighbor, you got to love them all the time. That person that you see in the store, better put a smile on your face. Be kind to them. We always talk about customer service, right?
That's a big deal in your field.
Everybody, I mean, you know what customer service, big deal, right? It's the demeanor that you put on when your customer is in front of you. And how you receive them. And how much you want to please them. And what you want to do to help them. You realize you and I operate the biggest customer service detail in the world. Every lost and saved person in your life is your customer. You're dealing with them as a representative of who? The Lord Jesus Christ. And if you misrepresent who Christ is, how many of you get in moods? Oh, come on. You're getting those kind of those funks, you know, and you just kind of, you know, you just, You know what? You better ask God to get you out of that. You don't have the liberty to be in some kind of a dumpy, grumpy, bad mood. Because you represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He gives you His Holy Spirit to get you through that and past that so that you can love every individual God puts in your life very, very consistently. Some people are easy to love. How many know what I'm talking about? They're easy to love. Others, not so much. They're I call them hard cases. Guess what? You're going to love them just like the ones that are easy. If you find it hard, then you get on your knees and you ask the Lord, let me gently and consistently demonstrate impartial love to every person I meet. How about that person that's homeless? Find that kind of hard? They want a handout. They want money. They're probably going to go booze it up. You better treat them with respect. In order that you might bring what? Truth to them. Gently. Give them the opportunity that you'd give somebody that's easy to love. You are. You say it again. You are the Holy Spirit to them. You are demonstrating Christ to them. And the only way to do that is not some facade that you put on. Not some kind of, you're just going to put on some kind of act. You say, oh God, I don't want to be like I normally am. I want to love folks through you. I want your strength. I want your grace. Instead of looking on them like they're there's something different. You can look on them and say, I'm going to love you with Christ. We're about done, folks. We're back to that the objectivity of the Holy Spirit. He's powerfully bringing about new birth. He's passionately aiding and supporting every believer. Lastly, persistently dedicated to the divine call. I was talking to my wife this week, Brother, what's, we sing a song, Loyalty to Christ. I can't remember how the lyrics go. Can you, if you can find that, it's in your hymn book. If you get it, it'd be worth us reading that. What is loyalty? What's the word loyalty to mean? You say, I'm loyal to my family. I'm loyal to my job. Right? I'm loyal to my Cubs. I know you're pretty disappointed. You got it? You find it? 408. The song just stuck in my head. I know it's not Scripture, but it's definitely, I think, driven by Scripture. It says, you're following along from over hill and plain. It comes a signal strain. Just loyalty, loyalty, loyalty to Christ. Its music rolls along. The hills take up the song. Loyalty, loyalty, yes, loyalty to Christ. Oh, hear ye brave the sound that moves the earth around. Tis loyalty, loyalty, loyalty to Christ. Arise to dare and do. Bring out the watchword true of loyalty, loyalty, yes, loyalty to Christ. Come join our loyal throng. We rout the giant wrong. Tis loyalty, loyalty to Christ. Where Satan's banners float, we'll send the bugle note of loyalty, loyalty, yes, loyalty to Christ. The strength of youth we lay at Jesus' feet today is loyalty, loyalty, loyalty to Christ. His gospel will proclaim throughout the world domain of loyalty, loyalty. Just loyalty to Christ. We see this persistently dedicated to the divine cause. Boy, is this a big one. When it comes to reading the Word of God and praying, can you raise your hand and say, I'm loyal to Christ? Faithfully, listen to me, faithfully, knowing it is the mind of God, the heart of God, the Spirit of God, I need to be a witness one way or another each week. Are you loyal to Christ? Loyal. Dedicated. God's church, I have a responsibility. I am part of the body of Christ. This is my church. I'm a part of the arm, the leg, the ear, the nose, but I'm a part of this church. He's the head. Are you loyal? Are you a part of it? Do you give to it? Do you pray for it? Do you try to build it up? John 16, as we close, good verses. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, is expedient that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of the judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father. And you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say, and you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. Whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. For he shall not receive mine, he shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore I said unto you, he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you.
And in a little while you shall see me, and again in a little while you shall see me, and a little while you shall see me because I go to the Father. That's a description of the Holy Spirit of God. Dedicated to this cause. Let me ask you this morning. If you've got the Holy Spirit of God, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you. And there's a degree of loyalty that says that when He's come, He's going to do these things. Reprove the world of sin, righteousness of the judgment to come. That means there's going to be a consistency that says that there's a reality of sin in this world. And people are dying and going to hell. And the answer is the Lord Jesus Christ and His righteousness. But if you're not loyal, let me just say this. You skew that message. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean you're saying one thing, but your life demonstrates something totally different. You cannot be both fresh and salt water. You're one or the other. But if Christ dwells in you, that consistency, let me say, the more consistent you are and persistent you are, the more the truth of the reality of Christ in this world is with everybody around you. How many of you think that people need to see the work of the Holy Spirit around them? How about that person that's next door? How about that person you work with? I thank God. Somebody asked me this week about the guy that was instrumental in leading me to Christ. Ron Frills. Won't forget the guy. And there's one thing I knew about him. He was not dedicated to his job like most people think you would be. But I'll tell you one thing. He was dedicated to Christ. I never knew what it meant to get up and proclaim Christ. I remember him getting up in the cafeteria. I worked for Kraft Foods, 20 years almost. And I became his friend. I remember him getting up almost consistently, at least two or three times a week. He'd get up, he had a half an hour lunch, and he'd get up and he'd preach a little sermon in the middle of the cafeteria. And I'd be sitting right next to him. I just kind of hid my head down. Goodness. It's embarrassing me today. But he was loyal to Christ. Loyal to Christ. Who are you loyal to? Who are you loyal to? Are you loyal to yourself? Or are you loyal to Him? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. It's loyal. We had this inscribed and painted on the top of our church bus when we first had it. This was a verse that God gave me a long time ago. You look at it in your Bible, you can look it up here. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? You want the Holy Spirit to liberate yourself, your family. You want Him to liberate those folks that you say you love? And the best thing you can do is say, listen, I'm not going to grieve God anymore. I'm not going to grieve Him. I want Him to liberate my life and the lives of people around me. Let's stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around, please. The Bible says today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. It's a decision time. This is where you say to God, God, I do not want to live another moment where somehow I'm not following you and obeying you. And somehow I'm really kind of grieving you. You hear the day, you say, Pastor, head bowed and eyes closed. Please pray for me. I just want to be liberated. I just want to please God in my daily life. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see those hands. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You're here today, you say, Pastor, I'm still struggling with this idea of I'm not certain about my salvation. You're not certain. Holy Spirit dwells with you. I want you to keep praying for me, Pastor. Uplift your hand and say, Pastor, just pray for me.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else?
Let's pray. Father, we thank you. I'm just so thankful for the gift of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for dwelling in me, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Father, Lord, on behalf of this church, for guiding us and for helping us and for being so persistent, Father. And even now, Father, I ask that you forgive me and others that have just missed the mark and have saddened you and mourned over the fact that, Father, we've fallen short of what you can do and want to do and desire to do in each one of us. Father, I pray for those who are still struggling with the certainty of their salvation. Please, Lord, I know you love them. And I know that you died for them. And I pray, Father, that you bring them to that place of repentance and surrender of their life completely to you. What you did for them on the cross that nobody else could ever have done. Lord, please. Father, I pray you just bless this invitation with decisions that might need to be made. Help every person, Lord, that this next week might be different. That you have a liberty in our lives that you might be able to liberate others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.